Hi everyone, and welcome to Encore Wisdom Meets Wonder podcast. I'm Paula Washington, your host, a business strategist and coach, author of the Encore Playbook, and my co-host today is our resident Gen Zer, Deshae Shepherd. And we're here today to talk to you about it's never too late. And we are going to dispel some myths that people think about, things being late. Delay, denial, and all those type of things. So, Deshae, why don't you share your perspective on that?
Good morning. Hey, you guys. So thank you again for welcoming me on. It's always a pleasure to have these conversations. I walk away every single week with a new insight and a little bit more courage. So today, I honestly can relate to this all too well. This is one of the prompts that I actually took note of for this. So have you ever felt like you missed your moment or you jumped too soon? And when I was looking at this, I really just took a step back and reflected on the different parts of my journey where I did take that leap of faith that, my village around me was encouraging me to take. And then, I'm looking back and I'm like, oh shoot, like, should I have planned better? Could I have done that better? And what I realized is that it's really no such thing as the right time. And I'm air quoting that as I say that because even if we jump too soon, per se, there's something that can be learned from that season. There's something that, like within us, if that makes sense, we can't go back to who we were before that jump. Like there's a stretching that happens even if we don't make the right decision. I hope I'm making sense to you.
Yes, it does. It makes really good sense. A lot of times in life, sometimes we may stay in a job too long, or we may not, we may should have we need to leave earlier, or we are wondering, should I take in this? Should I have done that? Should I have done that? At that moment, you made the best decision you could for who you were and what was happening. Yes, we have jumped too soon, and sometimes we didn't jump quick enough. Sometimes we miss opportunities because we didn't take the risk. And then sometimes we walk right in line with those opportunities. And as we grow and as we mature as people, we learn timing. We learn how to be in sync with ourselves and what's being offered. And our lives get more aligned. It doesn't happen like, one, two, three is going to happen. No, it doesn't happen at a particular age. It happens at the stages of your own personal maturation and leadership. So when we look at people who have become successful later in life, that's because it was time. It was time for Colonel Sanders to create the chicken, that whole Kentucky Chicken business model. It was time. But all along the way, he failed in many other areas until he found something that he was good at and could develop. But then at the same time, the world was ready for fast food and chicken in a bucket. So timing is everything. You can create something and it be too early and the market doesn't receive it. And then the second person that comes to market launches what you created, a better product, or maybe not, but because they launched it in time for the market when it was ready to receive, it took off where the original did not. And a lot of times people forget that. So whenever you show up, it's time. And when you, and yeah, right? So when you show up, it's time. So people talking about delay doesn't mean denial. And that's a cliche, but yet it does have purpose and it does have meaning. What it really means is because you have a vision and you got this idea and you really want to launch this idea and you really want to do it. But it doesn't seem to take off. It may be 5, 10 years, or 1 year, or 2 year, what have you. And then you're figuring out, you're thinking, oh, well, because it didn't work, it's not good. No, not the case. It has to be perfected. When the light bulb was created, it was created by several different people. Now, the person that got the accolades for it was not the original person that created it. So therefore, the original gentleman that created the light bulb, he created an idea, and then other people perfected that idea, and that one got the success for it. So timing, season, and opportunity, and resources, relationships, everything has to work in congruence in order for things to come to pass. The universe has to be ready. The technology has to be ready. Your market has to understand what you're presenting to them. When the light bulb was introduced, everyone was thrilled because there were, you know, candles, fires, all kinds of different things. But then you had to be able to make sure that the electrical wires in the homes worked, because back in those days, everything was wood and things burnt up quickly. So, you know, there's so many details, which a lot of your generation, you guys are really quick to create and move forward. But in our generation, we know what it took to get there. Like originally you had the manual typewriter, then you had the electric typewriter, and then you had computers. So the stages of development and the evolution of the product allow us to understand what the customer was needing to be able to communicate quickly in writing and sending information. So that evolved over time.
Oh my God. So I just had like a couple of revelations while you were talking. I'm thinking about the very first iPhone that came out. It was like 07. And I'm just like trying to imagine if the iPhone came out in the 80s or 70s, they would have probably thought something was wrong with it. Like trying to launch something back in, you know, because back then they had those big clunky phones. Like, I mean, even my parents, like them just like telling me their stories of how they remember, you know, you had a pager, like, you know, so it's just so funny, you know, just now in my generation where we are so like tech advanced and it's consistently changing. And I feel like it's changing faster and innovating faster. And so my question, honestly, just as a whole, just looking at it, who is the one that decides that it's the right time to create something, you know, so far in advance, or you know, even if it's a business or if it's a life change, like who do you feel like is the decision maker?
Well, actually, it's not the one person. Mm-hmm. The visionary with the idea is one person with the idea. Mm-hmm. Then the team around that idea does the research and does all the things that are necessary to see if this idea is viable for this market now, later, or whenever, or is it something we should just throw out there and see what happens? And a lot of times what happens is with visionaries, they may not have a team or anyone else, so they just throw it out there and see what happens. And sometimes it catches and sometimes it doesn't. And the challenge is when it doesn't catch, then the person may feel defeated, lose confidence, think that this wasn't the right thing. But a true diehard visionary, there is always a fire inside saying, okay, that didn't work, let me try it this way. That didn't work, let me try it that way. So you talked about the evolution of the cell phone. Where did it come from? It came from rotary phone to the pagers, to the big clunky cell phones.
The Nokias.
Yeah, that were very, very expensive, to the portable phones, to all of this. And now you're looking at how technology has evolved. But everything has an origin. So when you're talking about risk and launching a vision, the origin of the core of what they're creating is not probably what the product will look like later. When I first started as a young child, I had this vision of doing all these great things. And yes, that was the vision, but I wasn't the person at that time to launch it. I was talking about it and growing at it and running after it and running after it throughout the years and decades and so forth. And now at this stage of my life, I'm launching everything that the dreams that were in my heart. Because why? I'm mature enough to do it. This week in point, we're doing a launch party for my book. And we're launching our podcast. I mean, so a lot of people, how do you have two launches in a week? Well, we're strategic. Mm-hmm. And when you have the wisdom, you have the experience, you have the technology and the team, you can do a lot more with less. The goal is to be able to understand how to streamline that and to be extremely strategic and be patient with yourself, patient with the process and your progress, and even with the world. If the world isn't ready for it now, create a form of it, test that form, and see who is ready for it.
Oh my gosh, ugh, this is so good. So I just want to talk about back what you said about like the having basically like the infrastructure and how it takes courage too to try again, because I just am just having these little mini flashbacks every time we have these conversations about different points in my journey where with my very first business, it was a beauty business. And I wanted to open up a beauty business school, and I wanted to have a product line where I mean, I was able to see all this stuff like in so great detail in my dreams when I was journaling, but it hadn't happened yet. And one of the things that I'm grateful for is that that big responsibility was not placed on me just yet. It doesn't mean it's not gonna happen, but it's I wasn't ready to receive that great of a responsibility just yet. It doesn't mean I'm not worthy of creating ideas. It doesn't mean I'm not worthy of having a massive business like that. But I had to go through some things on the journey. And that's something that I feel like we always talk about, you know, me and you. We always talk about how we have to start stretching, like we have to become stretched and go through some things in order for us to be able to receive that. As that version of ourselves, because we're not her or him yet.
Exactly, because a progressive growth and maturation. There is a scripture, everything is beautiful in its own time, is made beautiful in its own time. Well, the verb beautiful in the Greek means mature.
I didn't know that.
Yes, look it up. So we're not beautiful, or we're not mature enough until the appointed time for that particular thing that was that we are moving forward in. It also, write the vision, make it plain, and although it will tarry, wait for it, but it will come to pass and surely will not lie, right? Okay, whether you follow scripture or not, when you write a vision and you share that with other people, it may not manifest right then, but it will, and then it won't lie when it does come to pass. It manifests and everyone sees it. Steve Jobs was an incredible innovator and visionary. I was working at IBM at the time when he had presented that opportunity to them, when they came, for that opportunity and they didn't accept it. So did it mean that because IBM turned him down, that Apple was not going to be developed? No. It just meant that the company that he went to didn't have the same vision he had. So he had to go and create his own because others were not interested in collaborating. So was it that he was supposed to collaborate? No, he was not. He was supposed to have his own. However, he had to build that structure and what have you to run that business. And as time went on, of course, we learned that he's not the CEO of the company. He's an innovator, but he is not the leader because he and people don't work so well. And so understanding and growing through those processes, but the concept of communication and portable communication, which was what his vision was, is what Apple has done. And it has evolved over the years in many, many different forms. Every time you turn around, they've got something else coming out, and
We
this and
up
that and the
to
other.
iPhone 28 at this
I know. And you know what? And it's going to continue. And it's up to the individuals whether they feel they need it or not. That's a personal thing. But we're talking about here the concept of being able to innovate and see something like an egg that has not been the chicken hasn't come out of the egg yet. So we're looking at the fact that he had an idea about a portable communication device. Period. That's what the whole thing is. And he wanted to create that device. Other people couldn't see it the way he saw it, so he had to do it himself. And that takes time. So if you have a vision, and although you know this is it, And you got to perfect it and you got to work on it. But as you work on it and as you perfect it, it does manifest. And when it comes, it takes its place in the market and boom, it takes off. The gentleman that launched FedEx went bankrupt 13 times before he hit it. And now FedEx is doing what? You see, so it's not so much the race isn't given to the swift, but those what who endure. A lot of times people give up just before
Before the
it's time,
breakthrough.
before the breakthrough. So and they some of them kick themselves forward or what have you. But then that lets you know maybe you are not mature enough yet. Because if you couldn't go all the way to the end, then there's something else that needed to be worked out in you to get there. Because that, you'll watch people who are runners and they're on races. And the ones that win, maybe the top three or four, it kick that last round around that lap. They kick in and they go. And then they, pass out at the end. But there's something in them that they have developed that, you know what? It's all enough. I'm just going. Boom. And they do it. And so that internal intrinsic genius and strength and tenacity and confidence and belief and divine inspiration is what we have to develop and grow into and evolve over life. So if we rush it too soon, it'll shipwreck. That's why fast money goes money fast. Because you didn't have the process to understand how to create it and do it. But if you're wise and you make money quick, you take that and invest it into something that can grow over time so that you have something to work with and move forward.
Oh my gosh, can I just say in my generation, I don't know if you know this, we are in a fast money epidemic.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about that today because I feel like that this is also in alignment with the conversation, how so many people are, trying to get into like the rich quick schemes and stuff. I mean, it's actually crazy. And it's something that I've had to even learn to not get caught up in because people can talk fast and be on board with something that you don't even know what you're getting yourself into. And I just wanted to piggyback off of what you were saying when you said the fast money, you don't really become that person that you're supposed to develop into. Because it comes in so fast, so you don't know how to handle it.
Exactly. And then you don't even know what you're handling. You don't even know why it happened. And you don't know the purpose of it. There are times when we are blessed with an opportunity that we make a lot of money quickly, or we have a bigger opportunity than what we thought we could, whatever have. And knowing the timing of that. When I first started my business, I had a team that I worked with and collaborative partners and so forth. I was offered this contract that I knew I could do, but I never really assessed whether my team could support in it. Got the contract. We didn't do well. We didn't perform well. And I let the company know that, I lowered the prices and I made concessions because we didn't do as good as we can do. Now I could do it, but they couldn't. And I couldn't do it by myself. So the lesson that I learned in that was sometimes all money isn't good money, one, and every opportunity may not be for now. And to have the integrity and the confidence to say, you know what, I think I would love to submit for this, but we're not ready at this time, but I would like an opportunity in the future. Well, after the contract was over and we did what we did, because of the integrity I believe that I had, 3 years later, they came back and asked me for about another project. And I was very surprised that they did what they did. And we did it phenomenally well. It was, spectacular. Because I was ready then, we were ready then. But the fact that they saw that level of integrity for me and my team, we worked diligently to try to give them what they needed, and they were able to do what they wanted to do. It's, but the thing about understanding timing, your business is 0 to 3 years old. You're not ready for an opportunity a 10-year-old business is going to get. You're not ready for an opportunity a 5-year-old business or a 7-year-old business is going to get, or a leader who's been doing it longer than you. You're not ready because you do not know where the blind spots are. You don't know the capacity of the people you're working with, and you don't know the behind the scenes of the company or the program or whatever it is going on. You can't see that yet because you've not had that level of exposure or experience. And regardless of what anyone says, yes, they're all out here, social media, I did this, I did that, yada, 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 and doing all this rah, rah, rah. But how is the business going to sustain itself? Is it a legacy company? Is it a business that somebody would want to buy later on in life? Or the industry will want to embrace as it evolves? Are you quick in and quick out? Or are you long term? What is the purpose of this? You want to be a social media a star for what? Because everything is artificial.
Why? What is the why behind
it? What is the why behind it? You know, Simon Sinek talks about the why all the time.
And oh, my favorite book. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I love him. You know, he's doing a lot of good series now, especially about women and women leaders. I'm really intrigued by his conversation at this time. And so with all of those things being said, that is key. Why? If it's just to make money, you could go buy products online and sell products. If it's just about to make you the greatest and latest, you can do that too. But after a while, people get bored with you. Okay, during COVID, when we were all on lockdown, reality TV was a thing. Now, we're not. So why would we watch? You know, I could be sitting up, coming up with an idea for a business or for something innovative or to help someone or to be able to, you know, promote a cause or do something like that and sit there watching you doing the crazy, you know, arguing and screaming with your girlfriends or whatever it is you all are doing. Well, I'm going to sit there and waste my time on that when I can be doing something really productive that aligns with who I'm called to be and what I'm supposed to contribute in the earth. Each of us have a certain amount of days and times. Each of us have a certain amount of minutes in a day. What are you going to do with those? You know, I have a whole time mastery thing that I teach, and we have 1,444 minutes in a day. So how much money have you lost based on how much you're worth per minute? You're wasting time. So figure let's just say some of you are worth $5 a minute and you waste time like 2 hours on social media. How much money have you wasted?
Oh, that's a good point.
Exactly. And because you're sitting there looking, is it making you money? If you're not getting an ROI in what you're doing, if what you are planning for your business, if what you are executing for your company is not generating an ROI in your account, what are you doing it for? I just did a post last week talking about authentic relationships and communication. You know, all of the glitz and glamour is all what it is, online or wherever. But where's the authenticity? People want real truth and authenticity. They want to know they can trust you. They want to know you real. They want to know why and who you are before they buy into it. So is spending all this money unnecessarily going to get you the ROI you want? No. It may get people in the door in the beginning, but they won't stay. So what's your goal?
And see, that's a major talking point that I talk about in branding. Because I've had so many different experiences. I mean, people wouldn't even believe, but I'll just share this one because it's relevant to rushing your process. It's relevant to being authentic in who you are. And it's also relevant to just be yourself. So, you know, there are times where we may have situations where we have opportunities to work with people who may be inspired by us, right? And I'll never forget, I had someone that basically I was working with, and she attempted to copy my entire branding, like everything. And I wasn't mad or anything. You know, it's just a lesson. And one of the things that I'm grateful for is my ability to give grace. And I'm also an understanding person, but there's a lesson in everything. And it was an opportunity for me to teach. I said, hey, so just so you know, with what it is that you're attempting to do, it could go left if you were in a situation with somebody else that could potentially sue you. However, I'm not like that, and I would like to teach you. I said, this is something that I'm not new to. This is something that I've been doing for years. And you can be inspired, but it's never okay to copy. And I want to draw this point back to authenticity. People can feel and smell when you're feeding them a load of you know what. And so when we talk about branding, it is not just about getting on the internet looking pretty. It is about how your energy feels. Do you even feel authentic? It is your why showing up, how you market. I mean, when you're in a room, you're in a workshop with someone, when you're on a call like this, are you really who it is that you're portraying to be online? You know, so those are really amazing gems that I always consistently talk about over and over again. Before you get on Canva and create a logo, before you go get a brand designer, you need to make sure that your story makes sense and is authentic to who you are and it actually resonates. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I had a conversation yesterday with a technology company, the leader. She's in London, phenomenal young, phenomenal woman. And she says, one of the things that I always, when I engage with new clients, tell me who you are without AI. If you can tell me your brand and explain your brand without AI, then I know that you are authentic and I can work with you. But if you need AI to tell you who you are, then I'm not the company to work with. And I thought that was such a phenomenal way to interview prospective clients. Tell me who you are without AI. And then later in the day, I had someone ask me about who my clients are. And so I was explaining it to them. And then when they asked me about my consulting side of things, I lead you execute program. I was talking about organizational transformation from a consulting perspective and went through the whole thing. And he was like, hold up, hold up. This is a little bit more than I, so break it down so that I understand it. And so then I explained it to him. He was like, oh, I get it now. So if they want to do this, and this, you're the one for that on the consulting side. I said, yes. And if they want to do this, and this, everybody needs a business coach. I don't care who they are. They all need a business coach. If you're in corporate, you need an executive coach. If you are in your business, you need a business coach. It doesn't matter. So that's that. But the program, the Encore program, is for women. The I Lead You Execute are for businesses on the consulting side, bottom line. And he says, you know what? You do too much. Not in the sense that you do too much. You do a lot because you have a lot. So I'm just going to listen to the conversation. And when I hear something that I know you're good for, I'll just refer you. It's excellent. He said, because when you have that level of experience, you do know how to do a lot. And so you can offer a lot to different people. So instead of putting you in a box, I'm just going to listen for the right conversation. I said, I think that's excellent.
I love that.
And then I said to him, I said, okay, so who is your ideal client? Who are you looking for? And what referrals do you need? And he explained it to me. And I was like, okay, great. I'm busy right now with all of my launches, but as I start to lighten up, I will start to look for referrals and listen for referrals for you. We had a phenomenal conversation.
I love and see, don't you love when it's like authentic conversation like that, where it's like, okay, so how can I help you? Okay, and vice versa. Okay, how can you help me? You know what I mean?
And this is a group that I'm a part of. It's an international group, and I just thought that it was such a unique way to take interest in their members. It was extremely unique, and I really applaud them for taking that time to, see what their members need, So it was really a very insightful conversation. And see, that's the whole thing, the art of conversation, the art of communication. You can go online. I know now people are pumping out books left and right because they're going online and AI and letting AI write the book. So then when I sit down as an author and I speak to you and I ask you something, you can't answer me because you don't know, you didn't write it. It didn't come from your heart, so you have no idea. I know every page of my book because I lived it, so I can talk to you about it. So now, who is the real true author here? Who is the real true storyteller? When we have a business or we are in a career, we have skills and talents that we present in an environment. And the person that is authentic with that, they move forward, and the ones that are not, don't.
Yeah.
Very simple. Very simple. You're ready or you're not. You're mature or you're on your way. And it's okay. And being able to accept what is and what is not and what will be is a very specific way to look at things and a mature way to move through life. Always running and always rushing, being the loudest and the greatest, nobody pays you attention. Nobody pays you attention. And you just, you know, talking head. Okay, there they go.
Such a good point. Oh
my God. And you wear yourself out. You do. Yeah, you wear yourself out. You're running around, trying to convince people, convince, because you're really trying to convince yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this journey, it's just being back to the very first episode, like it's literally a personal development journey.
Exactly.
Our next talking point that I wanted to bring up is like, so moving forward, how can we redefine what on track means to you? And how alignment really doesn't have anything to do with age or generation. It's the timing. Timing is everything. That's one of my favorite sermons that I've listened to by T.D. Jakes. He talks about timing. How timing is everything, and we're rushing. Like you just said, like we're rushing to get here, there. I mean, and you talk to a lot of clients. I've talked to a lot of clients. I'm pretty sure people listening have talked to hundreds of people. And you ever met somebody that is just like so full of just like rush mode? Like you can literally see it in their energetic field. As a matter of fact, I just had a call yesterday with one of my clients. I had to tell her 2 weeks ago, slow down. I was like, you know, I'm not going anywhere, so why are we rushing? You know what I'm saying? So when we rush, it's you can tell it's in the business, it's in your body, it's in your spirit, and we don't have our best work in the marketplace when it's rushed.
Exactly. So
what does being on track mean to you?
Well, being on track, timing is your friend. I learned that many years ago through a lot of shipwrecks, through a lot of failing forward. I learned that timing was my friend. Time is my friend. Once I learned that time was my friend, I learned to ask the question, what time is it? Is it time for this now? What time is it for me? What time is it for this? What time is it for that? And I aligned my strategy for the year, for the week, for the day, for the quarter, for the first 3 years or whatever I'm doing. I align everything together because I plan in decades. And so if we back through the decade to this year, what needs to take place this year? And is this in line with that? And if it's not, then it's not now. So I have a little tool that I work with my clients on called the Time Mastery Tool, which is doing now, doing next, not doing now, and back burner. And so I work with my clients and I help them align everything based on the ultimate goal, backtracking into the smallest minute detail of today and tomorrow and this week and next week. And how do we execute that? And the less is more principle. You get more done with less. And so we get rid of the anxiety because I had, just like you, I had a person who set up a discovery call with me and asked me, so where do you get your clients? She's asking me all these questions. That's all. You are full of anxiety because you want to make money and you've been in business and you're new and you don't know any better.
Yep.
It's not going to happen. So just calm down. I can give you all of my things and tell you everything, and you can go try to do it, and it won't work for you.
Yep,
One,
yep.
because what I'm doing and what you're doing are two different things. Two, you're not ready, and you come in a person's presence with that anxiety, and I want you to buy this. They're gonna automatically step back.
Yep.
So let's slow it down. And then, I kind of coached her through a conversation and realized what her real true gift is and suggested that she operate in that and then make the offer. Or let the person ask you, because they'll ask you, well, what else do you do? Now you can bring that to the table. But if you lead trying to bombard through that front door, many times you're not supposed to go through the front door. Many times it's the side door. Sometimes it's letting someone else present you. Sometimes it's letting an opportunity present itself where you're asked a question and then you answer it. But if you're anxious and you're hustling and you're pushing and pressing and you're this and that and you've got all of this and out of all this stuff going on, you miss out on some of the greatest opportunities in your life. And I know because I've lived it. So that's why time has become my friend. That's why I wrote the book on time mastery, and I'm getting ready to take the tools out of all of my books and create little technology pieces where people can use those tools quickly. But that's my answer for that. Alignment. Alignment has to do with the plan, and it has to do with the vision.
I was
And
just
so, yeah, we have to have a plan. Now, I always hold my plans loosely. I believe in outlines. So you have your outline, you have all the stuff you need to do. Now you hold it loosely in the sense that you have to be flexible because maybe you can't do this right now, but you can do that. And so you do that next thing, and then all of a sudden you can go back to the original that you wanted to do. So that's where we're flexible. But you have to have a plan. And without a plan, you're running around like a chicken without a head. That's where they're talking of, without a vision, people perish. That's because they're out. They have no purpose. They have no why. So when you don't have a why, everything that you shiny penny or every exciting thing you're gonna run after and you're going to pursue, and you get no fulfillment. No one can fill you up. You have to have your own cup and know what it needs to be filled with. And then when it's full, then you share that with others because now you're giving overflow and you're not draining people of their energy and their time.
Oh my gosh. That needs to be on the billboard because then you're not draining other people of their energy and their time. Time is the one thing that I am so protective over now. It used to be money, but now it's time because I don't get more time. I don't know when my last day is. You're not about to tie me up.
We just lost a gentleman that we all loved it,
Oh,
and all
and
and
Ozzy Osbourne now passed as well.
well you know and well he's been not well for as many years, so it's understandable. But Malcolm Jamal Warner, he was young, he was only 54, and he's passed. So life is short. You don't know. He's out swimming and unfortunately, had an accident. And so the thing about life is we never know. So live today in the fullest. Be give and share as much love as you can. And open your heart to who you really are and don't be afraid the good, the bad, the ugly. We all got it. That's what makes us who we are. And every day that you're given the gift to wake up and do it again, now you can be a better version of yourself today than you were yesterday. Don't bring yesterday into today. Just focus on one thing. Can we just focus on the main thing and keep it the main thing? Can we just do that? And
Let's
this is
stay
where
on
people, let's stay on track. And people
track.
bring in baggage from all these years and leave that bag at the station. Travel light. Okay.
Oh, I was just gonna quote it. Miss Erica Badu said it best. Pack light.
Yes. Pack light. You know, can we just clean the closet out? All right. Spring, fall, winter, summer cleaning. Okay. Clean it all out. Travel light. Because you never know what opportunity, you never know what life is going to present to you. Mm-hmm. And it oftentimes presents great things, but sometimes you're so bogged down, you can't see it.
And you cannot receive what is rightfully yours in front of you that's already ready to be harvested too. This brings us into our encore challenge. So this is a fun one. So this is going to be called Design Your Own Timeline. Okay. So I want you to reflect on these couple of questions that I thought would make more sense for what it is that we're talking about today. So what age or milestone am I placing unnecessary pressure on? That is a really, really good one. Because I had a mental timeline of when I was going to be married, when I was going to have a baby, when I was going to have my first home, like, you know, purchased, obviously, when I was going to have my cars paid off. And you won't believe the age. Oh, my God, you're going to laugh. I said I wanted to be married by the time I was 25. I wanted to have my first baby by the time I was 26. And then I said I wanted to buy my first house at 21.
Well, those are excellent goals. Those are excellent goals.
I'm well past that age, by the way.
I know. But those are excellent goals. And those are goals in the, you know, I have my Power of the Decades and also my Encore program. So in the Power of the Decades, I created a timeline from 20 to 90. And each decade has a specific focus. And in your 20s, it's discovery time. In your 30s, it's productivity. So if you say, okay, I want a home, I want to have, be married, I want to have children in my 30s decade or in my 40s decade. Then you leave time open for those to manifest, because in your 20s decade, you're becoming who you are. So do you really want to connect with someone else that's becoming who they are? I got married young and that wasn't the best choice. I have my daughter, which was the greatest thing, but marrying when I have established who I am as a person and I am whole and I can join with another person who is whole, together we can create something wonderful. Mm-hmm. I would rather wait for that opportunity and see myself in the best version of myself than while I'm becoming. And while they're becoming, because sometimes that doesn't weather the storm. Mm-hmm. Then as far as the responsibility of a home and all of those things, great, great aspirations. But are you in an economic situation financially to maintain and sustain the dream? You're discovering in your 20s, in your 30s, you're becoming productive. So where in your 30s are you most productive? Where in your 30s are you have that financial stability? Mm-hmm. So you have, when we start to look at the things that we desire and what we want, if we understand what each decade represents, then opening it up to, I'd like this to happen. Because I had everything happen when I said I wanted it and it didn't work. And that led us to the previous generations. You know how they said, oh, when I was coming up, you know, you go to college, you get married, you work 30 years and you retire. There was no room for me being who I was and who I am today. In society, women were, you know, you were a school teacher, you were a nurse, you were, what else? Well, there were some other professions that you were, but you couldn't be anything other outside of those things. And get a good government job and all these different other things that they said back in those days. And they said it for that time because that was security and it represented security and stability to them. And it represented what they believed was the best place to go. But when I had all those things and it all fell apart, then I had to find myself. Mm. And I had to bet on myself and win, because now I am I have a child I'm responsible for. I have things that I, you know, and I never expected to be in this situation. And the world at that time, of course, you know, being a single mom or divorced or what have you. And there's so many different things that you go through. So what is the best time when everything aligns with who you are? That's the time to execute, pursue, or receive whatever is being offered, because there is no rush.
I love it.
Right time is always the time that's aligned with everything that you are pursuing.
One more that I really, really feel like will resonate with where we are right now is, what would bold, aligned action look like right now, regardless of my age? So that could go for the Gen Zers or Gen X, millennials, boomers, whoever's listening. Because I remember being told at 18, 19, you know, that there were certain things that I could never do because I was too young. But with me being strategic and being structured and organized, and like, yeah, there were different parts of that part in my life where I feel like I could have done better, but it ended up working out, you know? So you just never know where life is going to take you. I think that's a great one to reflect on and take some time to think about as well. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. Because we never know where life is going to take us. We never know what opportunity is going to come. But when we are in alignment with who we are and with the plan that we have and our personal vision and mission, when an opportunity presents itself, you can recognize it. Yep. Many times, because I was so busy and so focused on other things, and I was driving and running and pressing and so forth, the opportunities were there. I saw it and I kept going, and I missed the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so now, at this stage, and I've learned over the years to take just to take that time and walk out and cherish and enjoy where I am and where I'm going, so that I can pay attention and see what's really happening all around me and what I can create to happen. You know, we desire to have a whole lot of things, and then when they come, sometimes we may not have the confidence to move forward, so we shrink back or run away, or yep. we're so preoccupied with something else, we look to the wrong direction. You know, and help is standing in front of your face and you're looking over here instead of looking straight ahead, you know. And so we get, you know, it's like grow up, look up, and be, you know, and be up. Okay, focus, you know. And so that's key. And alignment is, when you're in alignment, you're focused. When you're not in alignment, you're not focused.
You got your hands in too many different pots.
Exactly.
Same time, and you can't focus. I don't know why that word keeps sticking out to me. Focus. Like this year alone, I have honestly been able to see what it looks like to have your hands in too many different things. Not saying from my personal standpoint, but just I can just tell. I can pick up on the body language and tell. Mm-hmm. Are you like that now?
Of course, I've been like that for quite some time.
Like you can tell when it's just too scattered. Okay, yeah. I don't know if that's like me starting to develop more as a coaching lady or something. I mean, I don't call myself a coach, but I can just kind of tell that I'm like, okay.
Well, as when you look at the fact that you can recognize in others when they are not focused and they're not on point, that's because you are. In our profession as leaders, as coaches, as strategists, as consultants, and the things that we do, the gift that we have and the talent we have is to be able to help people to get to where they want to go. So we can see where they're not in order to help them where they want to go. Now, because we can see that, we also know that they're not ready to walk with you in where you are going. So they are not the best collaborative partner or opportunity for you, because they are still in that scattered stage, or they're still growing. A person mm-hmm. who's in a business for 1 to 3 years can't collaborate with you unless they have a product or a tangible service that they have mastered that they can sell, that you right. don't have a problem aligning them and mentoring them in the process to work with you. If they're not ready for that maturity, or they're not ready for that feedback, then they can be a mentor. You could be a mentor. They can be in your mentor program, you know, or they can be a client. And you work with them from a long distance, because sometimes people do, when they are around, they gravitate to people who are leaders. and who are visionaries. They want to be like you. And then there starts to be a little resentment or a little jealousy at times. That happens quite a bit. And when that happens, you cannot move forward with that particular individual because they're not mature enough in their own confidence in who they are to see that who they are is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Where they are is enough. And what they have or don't have is because this is what they are, where they are now, and this is enough. And they don't feel that way. You know, Oprah just did a series on jealousy and how people, she and Mel Robbins did a series on jealousy and how people, you can't be in relationship with a jealous person, even if they had a little bit of jealousy, because the door is open now for instability and they flip-flop and you can't trust them. Now, that's different.
I need to listen to that.
There's different than healthy competition. Healthy competition is you're where I want to be, and I know if I do what you did, I can get to that stage. That's a person that's like, oh, they're where I want to be. I'm walking towards that. Let me follow and do what they did so that I can get to that stage in my business or in my life or in my career. That's a totally different direction. Healthy competition is wonderful among teams, among individuals, and what have you, mentors, mentees, all of that is wonderful. But never negate that the original has the original idea, and no one will be able to duplicate what was originally thought. You'll be able to copy, but the original, ergo Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Coca-Cola was first to market. They're the original. No matter what anyone says, Coca-Cola is the original formula. Pepsi is doing phenomenally well as second to market and will always be. And then all the other brands, they get to come alongside and ride off the fact that people wanted soda. So you see what I'm saying? And so is that healthy competition? Absolutely. Is that envy or jealousy? No. The 99-cent soda is going to sell and make money just as well as the $5 bottle.
So, you know what? I just had a realization. There was a lady, I think it was from Pepsi. She came from Coca-Cola. She tried to sell the recipe to Pepsi, and Pepsi called the authorities on her, and she got arrested. Even though they're competitors now.
Exactly.
Wow.
They were always competitors, but the integrity.
Yep.
Integrity. Every brand respects another brand. You know, every brand respects another brand. We would never, ever carry information from one, because you sign a non-compete. And then two, it lacks integrity. It shows you the kind of person you are that would do that. Why would you go to Pepsi with Coca-Cola's information? That's crazy. Who does that? Who does that? And you wonder why they arrested you? And you think that they're going to pay you?
No.
And keep you when you would do the same thing on them? No, not at all.
Today was so good, Paula.
Yes, it was. I'm so excited. I hope you all understood the encore challenge and those three questions, and you're able to actually sit down and ponder those and come up with your ideas. And feel free to always email us or leave us a comment and let us know what you're thinking about our conversation, where wisdom meets wonder. You know,
yeah.
We love to hear your perspectives and love to hear how you're progressing and growing in your life.
I just want to say this. Timing is construct, it's man-made. So take this today and use these conversations, just not just from today, but the previous ones, and learn how to step boldly into your purpose, regardless of your age, regardless of where you are, what your situation is. There's always something that you can take action on today. So I hope that you were encouraged, and I will see you on the next one.
We'll see. Yes. You.